kids. They grow up so fast. Many of them have homes, spouses, even kids, the full deal. Now, if you have dependents, life insurance is a no-brainer. But what if you don't? Should millennials buy life insurance? Lauren Mara is director of new business with LSM Insurance. He joins us now. Hello there.
How you doing, Bruce?
Do you ever say someone doesn't need insurance?
Well, it definitely some people need it more than others. If they don't have any dependents, and if the if it's a millennial who's the other spouse isn't dependent on them, or if they're not connected at all, then yeah, there probably wouldn't be much of a need for life insurance.
So some have dependents. Obviously, 37. They could have five kids by that time period. Is that really the tipping point for you, or the milestone that has you say, listen, this is now inevitable. This needs to happen.
Yeah. Definitely, when you have kids, unless you're very wealthy and there's no need for insurance and you have no debt, which wouldn't be most millennials. Then there would be a need for life insurance, because when you have a child, it's not like the child can go to work if something happens to you. So that's why, in the truest sense of the form, they're dependent.
If you have no dependents, but you do have a bunch of debt, let's say most of it is student debt, what happens if you were to die?
Well, yeah, if that would be taken away from your from any other assets that you have. So if you had a there may be someone who's connected, and they may have a house or any other kind of property or any other type of assets. That debt would be removed from those assets.
What if you don't? What if you're, working your job and you're living in a rental? Maybe you have a car, but not much else. Who has to repay that debt, or does anybody?
Well, nobody. I mean, they'd be a line of creditors that they just, they wouldn't get paid if there were no assets to cover that debt.
How does one figure out how much life insurance they need?
Well, there's some rules of thumb, and there's also some different needs analysis tools that we have on our site, as well as some other sites that you can see on the internet. But a rule of thumb is usually if someone has dependents under 10 years of age, they'd want to have 10 times their annual income. And if they had dependents over 10 years of age, then they'd look at 5 times their annual income. But that's, once again, just a rule of thumb that could be, different circumstances. If someone has a large mortgage or other large amounts of debt, they may need more than that.
And if they didn't have, in the case where they didn't have dependents and really they were buying it to safeguard their estate from having to pay the student debt off or whatever the debt was, would the rule of thumb be different?
Yeah, the rule of thumb would definitely be different if they didn't have any dependents. Then it would just be a matter of paying off the debt.
Of course, there's term life and then there's permanent life insurance. Totally different framework there. What is your advice for millennials on term versus permanent, either whole or the other options, universal, I guess?
Yeah, so the term insurance is going to give you a very affordable initial option, because you can get it anywhere from a 10 to a 40-year term. One of the most common is a 20-year term. And what that would do, if you look at the example of a 20-year term, it's going to give you rates level for the first 20 years, and it's going to go up as you get older. Now, for people that have a lot of debt and not a lot of money to outlay, the term's going to be a good route. The other, if you can swing a permanent in your budget and you don't have, and you have the money to do it, the advantage is you're going to be locking it at a very low rate. So someone who's taking out a policy when they're 25, a permanent policy, it's going to be much less expensive than someone who wanted to look at that permanent policy when they're 45 or 50. So it really depends on your overall situation, what your goals are, and what your budget is. It determines which is the best scenario for someone in terms of life insurance.
How much commission does a broker earn on a term life policy versus on a whole life policy? Because I know for fantastic brokers, they're listening to their clients' needs and they're really, they're matching up a product to those needs. But then there are those who may be influenced by their ability to earn a better commission on a whole or a permanent life policy.
It's an interesting question. I mean, the commission generally is based on the premium. So, I mean, certain companies pay more on certain permanent policies than on term policies, but some permanent policies actually pay a lower percentage commission rate than a term policy. For example, a Term 100 policy, which is a level premium policy with no cash values, the commission rates on that can actually be lower than a term policy, but it's really a function of the premium. So if someone's taking out a $2,000 a year premium, it's going to be a much higher commission than someone who takes out a $300 a year premium. But keep in mind that someone who takes out a 10-year term might be taking out a new policy every 10 years over three or four, you know, maybe do it three or five or six times in their lifetime. So the actual commission that they pay out over their lifetime could be much higher on a term policy if they keep taking out more policies as they get older.
And let's make a simple assumption that the term life policy costs $100 a month, $1,200 a year. In dollar terms, what does that mean the consumer is paying to the broker, to the insurance company, all that? And the reason I ask is we've talked so much in recent years about investing fees and having consumers be really clear on what it is that they're paying. And I want to do the same service to their investigation of where insurance fits in.
Sure. So the commission, you know, it's really going to depend on the broker's, on the insurance company's commission rate and the broker's bonus rate. But as a, once again, as a rule of thumb, you're looking at roughly a dollar for every dollar of premium, a dollar commission. So if someone's paying $1,200 a year, the first year commission would be about $1,200. Now, if that policy cancels during the first 2 years, there's generally a chargeback. And there's a small renewal each year, so a small renewal commission. So if someone's paying $1,200 a year, the broker would make money in the first year, and then they would make a small renewal commission each year after. Might be, you know, depending on the carrier, might be $30 to $40 a year thereafter. But keep in mind that that pricing is factored into the premium. So if you look at a bank-sold product, that same product is the commissions, or the, I wouldn't say the commission, but the salaries priced into the premium. So it's really, you know, it's debatable where there's a higher distribution cost, if there's a higher distribution cost paying the commission or paying the salary. If it were a higher distribution cost paying the commission, most insurance companies would probably pay salary to everyone.
Millennials are tech savvy. They live on their phones. Most Canadians live on their phones, but millennials in particular. When will we see some serious innovation, technological innovation, in the way that millennials and everyone can buy insurance? Because it hasn't arrived yet.
Some companies it's arrived to a certain degree, but I agree that the insurance companies are generally paper. It's a paper-heavy industry. But a lot of companies, Humania is one, Assumption Life's another, have made big improvements with their electronic applications. There's also been a strong push towards simplified issue type policies, where they ask a shorter series of questions, but they can do the underwriting immediately, so people don't have to meet with a nurse, or you know, they don't have to do all of the long form type of applications, but that can add a little bit of an extra premium to the cost of the policy because the insurance company has less information to analyze the risk.
Interesting. Lauren, we'll leave it there for today. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Lauren Marr is Director of New Business with LSM Insurance.